The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otakus across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programs, visit nerdyshow.com. Wicked A!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 44, and this is going to be the super soldier pretty review show Wicked Anime, because we're talking a lot about Sailor Moon. I am the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan, and with me is my bro, the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
And on the other side of the mic, we have Evan from the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Hi there.
Yep, and a newcomer to the podcast, we have Jessica from Nerdy Show.
Well, hello.
Jessica, she has done some writing for Nerdy Show. She does Geek Cred, and she also writes for The Gazetteers, which is an all-female article.
Basically a female geek perspective on things.
Yeah, anything else that I'm missing from you, Jessica?
No, that's about it. And then I would say for my day job, I'm an engineer. So I got that going for me.
So she makes big bucks building robots.
Yeah, she makes Gundams.
Yep. Making dreams reality.
Yeah.
She builds Jaegers.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about, on this episode, the new season of anime, and especially Sailor Moon, because, oh my gosh, that has exploded on the internet.
Pretty much. Yep. You'll see how, you'll learn about how excited we are about it later.
Yeah.
What's old is new again.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so let's jump right into it. Let's start off with some media news. We got to ring the news bell.
News.
That's our news bell, Jessica.
Yeah, Jessica, just so you know, that's what our news bell sounds like.
It sounds magical.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew's voice
pretty magical.
Pretty soldier news bell.
I feel like we've transformed into a news segment. So I feel like I'm now wearing a suit, and I've got a teleprompter. And we're good to go.
Wow, you put way more money into this than we ever have, then.
Yes.
All right, so first up in media news, we have an exciting announcement of a new release that Viz has announced that JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the manga, is going to be, they're going to be publishing it for release in 2015.
Which hopefully that means that they'll eventually be releasing the anime.
Well, considering they're already dubbing it.
Yeah, but was it Viz that was actually dubbing it for Anime Expo?
I think so, considering who they got for it. It's not like they got those, like, what's that channel that's in Singapore?
Oh, I don't know.
that sounds like an Evan
Dude,
thing to know.
Evan, you can't imagine right now how upset I am that every single voice actor of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure was at Anime Boston, and we interviewed every single one of them. And here I am sitting here, you know, one of my favorite animes ever, and they're sitting there, you know, behind their microphones like, they don't even know. And I'm so upset. I
if
completely...
If only you had mind-reading capabilities.
Right? Yeah. Right? Can you imagine if we?
Well,
just...
that would have made them very uncomfortable, you know, because Andrew would come out with his mind reading powers, you know.
So JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and be like, oh, I'm not supposed to talk about that.
Well, you know what? It's fine because Matt Mercer, I got to talk to him about Thundercats, and I was happy. But if I could, so Matt Mercer was in Thundercats, and which. For those who don't know, a lot of our fans, Jessica doesn't know, Thundercats, any era, I have all the comic books, I have all the show on DVD, all the new ones, all the old ones, what have you, action figures, whatever. He played Tigra, and I got to talk to him about that, which is completely cool, but Jotaro Kujo is my favorite anime character, almost, he's up there. If he's not my favorite anime character, he's definitely one of the top three. And he was sitting in front of me, you know? And just, he got to play Jotaro Kujo, and
gets me, man.
I'm just thinking that Patrick Seitz is Dio. He starts off with, like, you thought you were going to try sushi, but it was I, Dio.
Did you give him a Transylvanian accent because he's a vampire?
No, no. I was trying to do the Russian from Durarara.
Oh, okay. Simon. Well, it kind of went Transylvanian, and Dio is a vampire, so... Jessica, do you know anything about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure?
I do not, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that is a manly show that you should check out.
Yeah. Put some chest hair on my chest.
It's a manime, but there are some very fabulous posing.
Oh, it's super.
I do
posable.
Love me some fabulous posing.
Oh man, that they pose the crap out of that show. It's awesome. It is so awesome.
I'm just looking at pictures on Google.
Is just posing.
Yeah, one of my favorite memes that came out of. Out of JoJo's Bizarre Adventures is sup losers, we're going posing. So now also Crunchyroll last weekend for Anime Expo released the first three episodes in English of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and now it's gone and I missed it, and so I didn't get to see any of the English.
Which I did. I got to see the first two episodes. Evan, did you catch
it
at all?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, I watched the first two episodes in English because the third episode didn't introduce any new characters as far as the voice acting goes. So all I wanted to hear was the voice actors. So you got to hear Richard Epcar as Joseph, which is freaking fantastic. Matt Mercer as Jotaro Kuju, which is really amazing. That was like a perfect choice. And Kyle A. Bear as
Kakyoin.
Which we all know Patrick Seitz as Dio, as you lovingly mentioned, Evan.
Yeah.
In his vampire Transylvania accent.
It was Russian. I was trying to transform from Russian to the manly.
But it was
manly
I, Dio. Dio.
Dio would like to suck your blood. Blah.
Count Chocula.
See, I always just go to the count, so I just think, then all of a sudden, but like Japanese count, so I just be like, Ichi-ni-san.
That's one, wounded body.
Yes, this is going swimmingly.
So I don't even think we've talked about the news story yet. Okay, the most important part is that Viz is going to be releasing JoJo both digitally and in print. The first arc is coming out in January in digital format, and then in February it'll be coming out in print, and that's the first Phantom Blood arc, which is probably my favorite that I've seen so far.
I might have to pick up some manga if JoJo is coming out.
Yeah.
In print.
And then at the end of the year, they're doing the same thing for the second arc, which is Battle Tendencies with Joseph. And,
yeah,
and that one's also very good.
Well, Joseph is also one of my favorite Joestars that they cover.
I can dig it. I think I will most definitely check it out.
Yeah,
good luck collecting all 100 million volumes of the manga.
I do hate that. I don't hate it, but it does get annoying because I always want the complete story.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's I've got to have all of them or none of them.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
The manga has been running since the 80s.
Oh,
so
shit.
It's weird how we complain about how there's like so many volumes of like JoJo and like Naruto and Bleach, but yet Spider-Man and Batman have been going on since the 1960s and 1930s, and like, oh, we don't care.
But those aren't stories you have to catch up with. They always make breaking points where you can jump, or jumping on points, as they call them.
Right, that is true.
Or they just reboot the whole thing, and you're like,
yeah,
cool,
exactly.
Start over.
And they just make it terrible. You know?
Yeah. Can you imagine if they tried to reboot Naruto? Everyone would be like so pissed off. He's about to become the next Hokage. All right, we're going to go all the way back to the past and redo everything.
Let's move on. We should probably move on because I have like 7 more stories, and if they go on this long, this is going to be like our first 2-day-long podcast. Okay, so next up in media news, this gentleman named Aaron Porter, he was an alcoholic at one point, and then he also quit smoking, but and to take care of that, he started running. What he has decided to do for 2015, he is going to run the length of Japan. What he's doing it for is he's raising support for tsunami relief fund efforts. And so up until 2015, there are places where you can go to pledge in his efforts. And he's looking to raise somewhere around $35,000, which, I mean, like, this is like real life Forrest Gump right here. I mean, The length of Japan is pretty far.
So let's
see. Yeah, and
see.
The terrain changes quite a bit, too. So that's
absolutely.
Not, yeah, like that's...
I would say.
Alcoholic, drug user, smoker. He's going to pass out before he even gets out of Hokkaido.
He's been running. It's been years. I think he's been running for like 10 years or something like that. Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's
the
like,
lady made it sound. It made it sound like he just decided to do it.
Yeah.
Last week, he's like, I'm going to start running. This is fun. I think I can do all the
But fans. In a related story, did you guys hear that there was another 6.8 magnitude earthquake off the coast of Japan?
I heard about something similar to that, yeah.
I guess nothing really came out of it, but it was right off of Fukushima, which caused, obviously, a huge uproar. You know, I mean, like, they had to check the nuclear power plant, which was fine, thank goodness. But it also caused a tsunami alert, which there were evacuations in Japan over it. So that was something in recent news as well, and thank goodness everything is okay.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I wouldn't even know what to do at that point. It's move.
Yeah.
So next up in media news, we have, you know, the giant Gundam statue that they have? Studio Sunrise is starting to make plans for a 2019 development to make the Gundam move.
Wow.
Yes. And the...
that thing is huge.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro just, heard that. Was like, what? Did somebody say my name?
Yeah. And, Jessica, the reason why I say it's time for you to step in is because Studio Sunrise is starting a write-in contest for innovative ideas on how to achieve this. Both there's a place that you can go to where both Japanese and English submissions are allowed to submit your engineering ideas on how to make this giant Gundam statue move.
Make it tap dance.
So like, what are they qualifying as moving? I mean, they want the arms to move, or
they
just, like,
know.
Head
they
to
it
rotate.
They want it to shoot into space and fight other Gundams.
Oh, all right, well, that's easy. I mean,
yeah.
Shit.
Oh, yeah, and you need a laser sword.
Yeah, laser sword, that's right. Yeah, so start developing a laser sword.
So, you better get on that. I'm just, and I use the word you better get on that, because Nerdy, can you imagine repping Nerdy Show being like, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I built the Gundam. I built the Gundam.
I made that shit move. You like that? That was all me.
Yeah, so they're taking up submissions up until January of 2015, so...
All right, I'll start getting some plans together.
Yeah, Jessica and other...
sketchbook out.
Another robot enthusiast? Get on that.
Jump on it. Jump on it.
Gundam. In other news, they're also auditioning teenage pilots to...
Boom! That's an anime reference to every robot anime ever. Take that.
Kind of flopped. I'm kind of disappointed.
We just gotta find the most emo kid in the world.
Yeah.
Don't worry, John. Godzilla thought it was funny. Just like you'll get that joke later.
You'll get that after editing.
All right.
It'll show up.
In fact, listen to our last episode too, and you'll get it.
Okay.
I'm gonna move on to some. This is actually a little chunk of Sailor Moon stuff going on. The Nerdist showroom in LA is showcasing an art gallery entitled Meatball Head, all Sailor Moon themed, to celebrate the 20 years of the show. Now, what it is a whole bunch of different artist submissions that are just taking their Sailor Moon artwork and publishing it in this Nerdist showroom in LA, which is pretty exciting. I mean, anime isn't something that's still super prevalent, but obviously it's getting bigger now, which is great.
It's getting pretty big at the moment.
And the fact that there's an art gallery out there that is all based on Sailor Moon, English Sailor Moon at that too, is pretty cool, you know? I mean, we can all see, I mean, we'll even talk about it later on this episode, how big of a show Sailor Moon is becoming once again. You know, it's cool that they're giving entire art galleries to just Sailor Moon. That's cool to me.
I'm thinking I might need to hop on the next flight to LA. Check this thing out.
Absolutely. Send us pictures.
Yeah.
Also, next up in Sailor Moon news, did you know that Sailor Moon had a musical? I feel like I did know this, but I...
They've had like
seven. They've had a lot of musicals.
Yeah. Have they really?
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
Because
okay. I'm pretty familiar with one of them, but that's about it.
Yeah, from the article that this news story came from, they saying that this might have been the first one, and it's based off of, I believe it's like recollections of battles that they've had. So this one they're now releasing on DVD, And it's coming out for 7,400 yen, which is like $77 American. I mean, that's a lot for a DVD, but it has the two-hour performance plus an hour behind-the-scenes stuff and a 28-page color booklet.
The color booklet's probably... Well, it's just if it's just a booklet, that wouldn't probably make it $77, at least not here.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had a... This musical had an... I'm wondering if they had the same cast for all of these musicals or if they cast different people, but it's an all-female production. Even Tuxedo Mask is female. And like the girls range from 16 years old to 22, so it's yeah.
There's if any of you guys are interested, there's a really great Japanese metal band called Headphones President, and the lead singer of the group used to be one of the Sailor Moons in the musical.
Really?
Interesting. Huh.
Really.
Moon healing power.
Also, they're developing a new Sailor Moon play, which is actually a musical, which is going to be based on the Dark Moon arc of Sailor Moon. So everybody can look forward to that.
Cool.
So no gaming news? No, we don't have any gaming news. I mean, like, I found Evo's going on this week, which is, you know, big in...
It kind of overshadows all other gaming news
that's coming out. It does. I tried looking for gaming news that wasn't Evo, and that is impossible.
Hey, guys, did you know that Ed Boon announced the next Mortal Kombat character that's going to be in the game? Raiden!
That's like saying Sasuke's going to be in a Naruto game.
Yeah.
Or Naruto.
It's like Naruto.
Yeah, it's like Naruto in a Naruto game. I don't know. I think that like either Scorpion or Liu Kang. Well, actually, they haven't announced Liu Kang yet. So I think like Scorpion or Sub Zero is like the Naruto of a Naruto game. The reason why he announced that was because they've almost completely rebuilt his character. He's got like new moves and everything, you know. And I mean, regardless of whether or not you like characters in Mortal Kombat, you always want to check out the new Mortal Kombat stuff, especially because they have like those bone breaking moves that are like X-ray. Shots and stuff like that, and you want to see their fatalities and everything, and they show those now, which is like if you guys have seen the trailers from Mortal Kombat X, it is so brutal. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, they've gotten so violent, like, which is a really strong statement for Mortal Kombat, you know? So it's time to move on to some strange news.
Yeah, strange news. Welcome to strange news, Jessica. You're in for it.
I'm looking forward. Strange news. You've piqued my interest.
These ones actually get pretty weird this week.
Yeah, so, we got some weird ones too, so it's perfect.
I keep leaning closer to my computer like it's going to make a difference, like I can hear better.
First up in strange news, we're going to start off a little light. It's kind of a heartwarming story, but it's still kind of funny.
Yeah, the ending is going to be awesome.
Quite a while ago, there was a story of a farmer who dropped his iPhone into... He was a farmer who works at a grain plant, and during that time, he lost his iPhone in one of the grain shipments. What happened was 9 months later, he gets a phone call from Japan on his old phone saying, "Hey, did you lose your phone?" I guess he probably didn't sound like that because he was from Japan, but... But as somebody who worked
in... Did you lose your phone?
That was
awful.
That was French.
That was kind of.
It was, "Did you lose your phone?" Blah. But he works in... It was a Japanese man who works in a Japanese grain mill plant, and he found the phone 9 months later and calls him up and says, like, "Hey, is this your phone?" The guy says, "Yeah," and he mails it back to him. I mean, like, after 9 months, you'd figure that your phone's just gone. I mean,
well, he called the guy.
I know.
So he had another phone with him.
And who says all people are assholes these days?
Right?
Well, it was from
Japan. If I had lost my phone in the grain thing, I would have just jumped and was like, "No, my contacts! My Candy Crush, no! My Flappy Bird!"
Flappy Bird.
You can't download that shit from the App Store anymore.
I still have mine, and I could sell it on eBay for $2,000.
The next piece of strange news, it comes from South Korea, actually. And the reason why is because South Korea was recently going to have a museum exhibit about One Piece. It was canceled 3 days before opening, and one of the major reasons that it was canceled before the opening was just because it had imagery of the rising sun. You know, like the flag from Japan, and
who cares? Well, if you remember, South Korea isn't always the most tolerant of Japan, and it mostly has to do with things that happened during World War II.
They haven't really forgiven them about it. From what I've heard, you know, posts from Peter Payne of J-List and whatnot, Japan really has no animosity against South Korea, and they're sorry for what they did in the past and all that kind of stuff. However, South Korea does not feel the same way. A lot of anti-Japanese stuff in certain areas of South Korea. Same way as any country you go to. Any country, there's certain racisms anywhere you go.
Yeah. But yeah, they people were excited about this event. You know, there were a bunch of pre-sale tickets that were already, you know, put in place. And just because there was Rising Sun symbolism, like, there was original art from the artist, of One Piece and everything that were going to be there. It was just all canceled. So just because of that one simple fact. Now, it does make sense. I guess the museum also had kind of like a war exhibit in there too, and just the fact that it was kind of close.
Yeah, so it was a South Korean war museum. So that's kind of,
which was hosting One Piece stuff in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know how they got that to even go by.
Sounds like it's kind of more like Death Ball right there.
Yeah, so I don't really know what's up with that whole thing, but can you imagine, it's like, hey, I'm gonna bring a One Piece, it's a cartoon, like, ugh, I don't know. So there must have just been that one guy, like, or woman, who just, like, walked through and was like, what the hell is this? Like, what is this in my museum?
Anger. Yeah. Rage.
They just windmilled the whole exhibit, and it's just like, oh no, they're smashing all of our One Piece stuff, we have to leave.
Korean Hulk smash.
Now to move on to the strangest of the strange.
We got this next strange news piece from a fan. It was Gerardo.
Yeah, from Gerardo.
And as he sent this to us, even he wasn't sure how to feel about this.
Now, when I read it, I thought it was brilliant. I laughed. It's disturbing and it's beautiful and it's just continue.
Okay, so there was this shop in the Akihabara, basically the otaku district of Japan, and there was a specific doujin shop in there that was putting on an event.
Now, and it was also hosted by a doujin group.
Yes,
like a specific so they're not affiliated with anybody. They're just a doujin group that wanted to put on this event.
Which, doujins are fan authors and writers, illustrators, what have you, who...
A lot of them do hentai.
Yep. who take pieces of work and they make them into their own fan fictions, essentially. They're essentially published fan fictions. And so there was this one doujin shop in the Akihabara district who was putting on an event, and they were selling shaved ice.
Yeah, shaved ice. Strange news. The end.
Yeah, no. They put on a very specific theme at the event, which was all about urine. And
okay,
they had, if you don't know, there are places in Japan that sell drinkable urine. It's a fetish, what have you. To each their own. Fine. But they also had a standee cutout for a shaved ice machine of a girl that would pee herself yellow syrup for the shaved ice machine. And this caught the attention of media.
No, wait. So can you
is it just lemon flavored, or did he actually manage to, like, do, like...
Yes, it's lemon flavored.
It's lemon flavored.
Oh, okay.
So even the drinkable urine's just tea.
Yeah, so imagine, like, just a cardboard stand. Like, the cardboard standee was, like, a cute little anime girl, kind of, like... not showing anything but lifting her skirt like a little bit, and it's just so bizarre.
It's even weird to talk about.
Yeah, can you imagine like if we did that, something like that here?
We have like the little boy peeing in the fountain sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's more, or on the back of the car, the sticker little boy peeing on whatever it is the driver doesn't like.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like a little bit, that's more European though, Evan. The car thing is definitely more American. Can you imagine like our sports heroes, like if we had like Shaq and it's just like, yo, lemon ice Shaq. Cardboard standees everywhere of like different sports heroes.
Plus you talk about those peeing cherub statues, but like I don't think that you've seen people drinking from those statues. Let alone people who haven't gotten in trouble for at least doing that. Now, here's my thing.
No, wait.
Okay.
So, strange news. Lemon ice. The end. That's as strange as it gets, right?
Well, okay.
Well, no, this is Akihabara, so I feel like it can get stranger.
Yeah.
Please don't tell me there's, like, something chocolate ice cream related.
Gross. Now, there was a piece in the article.
Close!
That, where, the article that I read, there was a piece where they ended it, where they, when they ran out of lemon, they switched to strawberry.
Woo!
That's as strange as it gets. That's as strange as it gets.
Well, you mean, you don't want to talk about that?
Of course I don't want to talk about that. There's plenty to assume. Now, here's my thing. Here's my thing. There are people, we've talked about a lot of weird food and stuff like that on this podcast. We've talked about cat food restaurants, and we've talked about toilet-themed restaurants, what have you. But, like, there are mangas and people who actually, like, make a career out of what they're writing that are being canceled, that are deemed unhealthy for, like, the youth of the Japanese nation. If anybody saw, the assistant artist on Attack on Titan was just about to get her first release in Japan from her very own release that she wrote and drew, and it got canceled because it was deemed too unhealthy for Japanese.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. And yeah. What was it about?
From what I was reading about it, it sounded like something, like, out of a Judy Blume book.
A what?
Judy Blume, you know, like Tales of the Fourth Grade Nothing, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, those books.
I'm familiar with the titles, but I don't read books.
Yeah, okay,
well,
but they were...
a fourth grade girl that was lost and wanted to read a book that was just made you feel accepted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or a guy who was forced to read said books from school.
Yeah, but there's issues like that, which are like, they're like official releases and things that you know, can be monitored. And then there are people who are at these media outlets who are covering these things like peeing lemon, like ice.
I think it's funny. Like,
well,
it's
funny.
It's funny to talk about, but like the idea of it is like, ooh, that's kind of weird. It
is. So the strawberry flavor, is that only like a once a week thing for the
boom? Oh, menstrual jokes.
Or I wonder if it's just like, just because it was in Akihabara that they're just like, yeah, whatever, weird shit happens there. We can't control it. Whatever.
Probably, but
I don't know. I know, like, a lot of Akihabara stores are, you know, maid cafes and different things like that. So walking into something like that, you walk into a store, it's like, oh, what's going on here? Maybe tomorrow.
You know, when I went to Akihabara, I was expecting more anime related stuff. No, it's mostly porn shops.
It's really,
is it really?
Is. Yeah,
really?
It really is.
Damn it, I gotta go to Japan and just
There's
check
like
that out
one
for myself.
Comic book store, one anime store, like three maid cafes, and then just everything else is porn.
Really? I did not know that. I thought there was
a lot
more. I was
kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Really? You didn't just,
like, go
through?
I was disappointed that I couldn't take a picture with the girls advertising for the maid cafes.
Wait, you really
couldn't?
They wanted
500 yen per picture.
Oh, no, they wouldn't let me take a picture at all. And then I would try to, like, sneak a picture, and they'd put their sign in front of their face.
No way.
Yep.
Oh, that's so kawaii desu.
Wow.
But no, like, I went to this one shop and I saw AV written on there. I'm like, audio video. Oh, cool. Let's go see some electronics. Nope, it's just people having sex and things all
Yeah, dude.
What you don't know is that in America it's called JAV. And,
yeah,
and so when you're in Japan, they drop the J because it's just regular AV there.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, in Japan it's like Japanese adult video. Oh, cool. It's like, yeah, JAVs here is just AVs in Japan. So, Evan, it was close, but, you know, not that close.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my electronics on.
So you're telling me that the only people on this podcast right now who haven't been to Japan / Akihabara District are the two hosts of the show?
Yes.
Yeah, and so not to put salt, I went to Japan on business and stayed in Akihabara.
What? You stayed there?
Yep. Yeah, it was the Washington
man.
Hotel. So it was just on the outskirts. But so it was just basically you walked two blocks and you were just right in the heart of everything.
That sounds awesome. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, and it was nice because it was one of our distributors had an electronic shop in there. So I was like, oh, cool. Then I'll stay right by where the distributor is.
You guys could try for a GoFundMe. Say, hey, we want to do a whole month of wicked anime in Japan.
But expect a Japan trip. We'll have a lot of Akihabara. We will film that shiz.
That's it for news, thank God. It's time to move on.
Now that we're a half hour into the podcast.
It's time to move on to what we're watching. And This is going to be a pretty big discussion because the new season of anime.
This may even mold into what we're talking about for our Tapagotchi.
Yeah.
Because we're probably going to be talking about what we're watching because of the new anime season for such a long time that our Tapagotchi also includes Shoujo and Sailor Moon. So we're probably just going to talk about what you're watching all the way through Tapagotchi.
How about we do that? That sounds good.
And it's just and just be aware that when we start talking about Sailor Moon and Shoujo, that's also the Tapagotchi.
Yeah. we're gonna fusion dance our way into the Tapagotchi.
DBZ jokes.
Okay. Man, it's just like this is like an extra weeaboo episode of
In fact, our fans have told us that they're happy to listen to us because we're not weeaboos.
So, like, I'm sorry. I don't know where this is coming from, but...
This is just the episode of reference, I guess.
Yeah.
Episode of reference.
Hopefully it's not my fault.
Yeah. This is all your fault, Jessica.
I brought down the podcast by my
gosh. We were so nice to be like, join us on our podcast, Jessica. And you were like, no! And we were like, do it! And you were like, okay.
That's because I knew I'd ruin everything.
That was exactly how that conversation
went. It was.
Yeah.
There was a lot of kicking and screaming.
Cue the harp flashback music.
But we already reenacted it, so we can go back into present time. So, this new season of summer anime, it's totally awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched everything. I mean, granted, a lot of that was due to the fact that I had jury duty and I sat in a room for 3 hours and nothing happened.
Are you kidding me?
No, yeah, seriously. I got paid a full day's wage of work to watch 3 hours of anime.
And who says jury duty is a pain in the ass?
Exactly. I loved it. I loved every second of it. I can't wait for my next jury duty. But this new season of anime is awesome. Like, I've watched everything. And
yeah, and this is actually the perfect crowd to talk about it. Because I think we've all seen not everything, but a lot of it. And I know if Dylan and Glitch were on the show, they probably wouldn't have watched anything as far as it goes. So having you two on there with us... This is perfect.
Yeah.
Because even Jessica, we had talked about this beforehand, that you have seen a couple of things, which is great.
Now, let's start off with something general. What's everybody's favorite from this season? I can tell mine if anybody wants to go first. Okay, well, mine, Akame ga Kill.
That's what I was going to say, actually.
It was so good.
Jessica, you enjoyed it?
I did enjoy it, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. This is very good, because I too enjoyed it, but I thought, I will keep watching it. I will definitely keep watching it, because even with what little character development they had in the first episodes, the characters were interesting enough.
It was like a D&D campaign.
Yeah, it was like a D&D campaign.
It was like playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Dude, that's actually a pretty good reference.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Slayers?
Yeah. Not exactly.
Less magic. This is a low magic fantasy.
Yeah, but okay, so Akame ga Kill, it's weird because it's like a really, really dark comedy. Like, there's like that really strange mix of Japanese humor where there's the super D and stuff like that.
And see, that was just my issue with the show, was it felt like every single time they went on, it was, what is the most inappropriate spot we can put comedy? Right here? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it felt like.
But a lot of the jokes hit, which was my favorite
thing. Yeah, yeah.
But also, one of my favorite things about it was that it was super violent and uncensored. Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't... The uncensored parts were when they were killing monsters. The rest of it, there was censorship when it was...
When it was humans?
Yeah, I don't really recall. There was still the amazing appearing black fog.
I don't really recall, because I remember when the chick with the giant scissors cut that other woman in half. You could tell that she got cut in half.
Yeah, but she did have a black fog over her.
Maybe, but I mean, it was good enough. It was
good enough.
And yeah. I mean, you know, that I just had a lot of fun with it. You know, it was really fun, and I totally continue to watch it. You know, the main character is kind of cliche.
Yeah, I thought the main character was pretty dumb.
But I mean, he was a country bumpkin going into the city. You know, so they kind of need to make him dumb. You know, he was like, yeah, I'll just walk into the city and make a name for myself. No, you're from the country. What the heck are you talking about?
And one of the things that I noticed was the group of assassins in the show. It felt like each of their personalities, like each and every one of them, had a singular personality to make one complete character.
Yeah,
that's just that was just kind of my opinion as I saw it.
So they'll become like a Megazord of sorts.
Well, they kind of do already. You know, they're like, oh, they're always traveling as a group.
So Jessica, what were your thoughts, son?
So I really enjoyed it. Actually, I was afraid that it was going to be sort of a little cliche. Country Bumpkin runs into this group of killers and, you know, joins for some strange reason while he's trying to find his friends. So I was actually kind of glad at the end that, spoiler alert, his friends didn't make it, because I wouldn't have wanted to watch the rest of the season with him being like, oh, where are my friends at? I hope I meet up with them soon.
That is actually pretty true. And I actually, believe it or not, it's kind of weird how they still kind of made you feel bad for them, even though they had very, very little
character development. Yeah, and I think it provided a nice piece of character development for him of, oh, shit, like, this is not at all what it seems.
Well, yeah, and but the thing, because the thing is, he lost everything at that moment. So and in that moment, in that very moment, I won't say what happened, but he just decides to throw it all away again.
Yeah, which is, it's, I might be kind of going into what you were not saying, but it's kind of weird that they actually gave him incentive to join, not just like, oh, I guess I might as well join now. Like, it was just like, oh, hey, by the way, the bad things are happening, and he's like, oh yeah, you're right, I guess I will join you guys.
Yeah,
so I don't know whose favorite thing, because I think one of my favorite things of that whole episode was that at the very, very, very end, the guy who's in full armor, full suit and armor, and is just like, is going to be the super charming tank.
Yeah. No, he's my favorite character. That's the kind of character that I play when I play Dungeons and Dragons. I'm always a like 7 foot tall Goliath with like a warhammer or something like
the
that.
The gentleman.
And I'm a
tank.
Gentleman.
Yeah, the gentleman tank.
So I am exactly that character, and yes, he's my favorite.
Yeah. So Evan, have you seen it yet?
No, not yet. It's in my queue, though.
Yeah, you should check it out, because it's really fun to watch. It's really cool, because this season seems to be bringing us a couple animes that actually will go directly into our hardcore anime panel for next year at Anime Boston.
Yeah.
Yay!
Anybody have a different favorite?
So I'll say Majimoji was really cool.
Really? It seems so cliche.
It was really cliche, but I'm okay with cliche if I enjoy the show. Am I alone on that?
Well, I mean, I guess if you enjoy the show, then you enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Character designs are really good.
Yeah, and that's kind of something I like. I'm a sucker for really cute characters, and that show did kind of be like, hey, here you go, here's all these cute characters, you know. So they did that for me. It was funny, like it made me laugh a couple times, which was nice.
which is good when it's a comedy.
Yeah. And I kind of want to see where it goes. So I will stick with that show, for sure.
Yeah.
That's so basically what that's about is there's a kid who has been dubbed, oh, he's trying to be a pervert, like the biggest pervert in the school. Surprise, anime. And he gets wrapped up with this supernatural club. And they basically force him to try to summon a witch. They create the circle, and he puts the book down, and he says, I wish for a cute girlfriend. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Nothing happens, and his friends come over and be like, dude, did you wish for a cute girlfriend? And he's like, nah, dudes, I was just kidding. I wished for panties. And it's like, another thing that's like, surprise. Okay, panties in an anime. What? So instead of getting the cute girlfriend, which he actually wished for, the witch gives him the pair of panties. So, and what the end of the contract says is that when you wish for something, you also will die within 2 days.
Whoopsie.
Yes.
Oh.
The first episode is the synopsis of the anime. Basically, if you read the synopsis, that's the entire first episode.
Hmm. Evan, do you have a favorite yet?
Not yet. This is going to sound kind of disappointing for you guys right now, but I really haven't had enough time to catch up on a lot of anime because I've got like 8 video games I need to review.
I am shocked, Evan. You always have time for anime.
I try so
shocked,
hard.
Shocked and disappointed.
Although I will say I've been watching Ranma 1/2, and I've been watching old school Sailor Moon and the new Sailor Moon, but I haven't watched anything else yet.
Okay.
Or, actually, no, wait, that's not true. I've been watching Space Dandy.
Oh, yeah, that was
there we
the other
go.
Show.
Yeah.
Space Dandy.
That was the other show that I was trying to think of.
Jessica, do you get your Adult Swim on and watch Space Dandy?
I do not have Adult Swim, so I think I will need to illegally download Space Dandy.
Really?
You mean you don't even have Cartoon Network?
No, I don't have cable.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's a problem with this day and age now. I mean, like, when they go with simulcasting, a lot of people don't have cable anymore, so...
You can find Space Dandy elsewhere, though. So that is...
Probably on AdultSwim.com.
No.
I think Hulu has really? It. Hulu might not.
No, no, yeah, AdultSwim.com, I think, has it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, seriously?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay, Evan... Good point. Space Dandy was awesome.
Yeah, the season premiere of Space Dandy was freaking hilarious.
They broke down every anime trope, or quite a few anime tropes. They even threw in an Attack on Titan parody in there.
Yes, that was great.
And, like, oh my gosh, like, the humor was so good. The closing joke was amazing.
The closing joke.
Again,
emo
again,
Dandy.
Just, yeah. I want to die.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so funny.
Again, you know, Space Dandy stuck with its formula of universe-breaking jokes to end the episode.
Yep. And
it is so funny. It is so funny.
Yeah. And what they always do for like the first episode of every season is that they put in like such good animation, and this episode had bones. At its best,
yeah.
You know, with like giant robot meow, like chasing Space Dandy and his crew through the desert and like blowing up rocks and shooting lasers and stuff. That was so good.
Yeah. So basically, Jessica, what we're even talking about is in the first episode, you don't need to see the last season to watch the first episode of the second season.
All right.
None of the episodes correlate.
Yeah, none of the episodes correlate.
They're all like standalone.
Yeah. Which is awesome. I love episode of the week animes because it's a very Western thing to do.
Oh, sorry. So also quick side note, for those of you without cable, Hulu Plus does have the first season. So if people want to watch it.
There you go. There you
Excellent.
Go. So basically what happens is they find a thread. A thread in the universe. And they keep pulling the threads, and basically they keep jumping from universe to universe and seeing all the alternate dimensions Space Dandy and crew.
All right.
And so it's the antics of all how almost every single Space Dandy in the universe is a better Space Dandy than the one that we're following.
And then they all get stuck in the same dimension, which causes rifts throughout the universe. Boobies turns into chesties.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
until
it's all
the last
males
straw. Hi, welcome to boobies.
Yeah.
Boobies.
It was brilliant. It was just hilarious and so funny.
Here's a question. Do you think they're ever going to reveal why Dr. Gel is chasing Space Dandy?
I don't think so. Honestly, I don't know. That's so hard to call, but I don't see it.
At another anime convention, if I get to interview J. Michael Tatum, that's going to be one of my questions.
Yeah, right. That'd be a good idea.
Okay. Did you guys... Oh, well, Evan obviously didn't. Jessica, I don't know if you did. This will probably have to be another anime that you download, because Funimation has this anime, which means they're not releasing it for free. Zankyu no Terror, which is Terror in Resonance, which is Shinichiro Watanabe's new anime, the Cowboy Bebop director.
And Space Dandy.
And Space Dandy, about terrorists. And you know, a very close-to-home thing for Americans. And holy crap, this is one of the deepest animes. It was so uncomfortable to watch because it was a little close to home with everything that's been going on, especially here in Boston, but not just Boston, but the United States.
Mm. Yeah, there was a lot of it's weird because there's a mix of 9/11 and the Boston Marathon bombings.
But the anime was so brilliant. It was so good. And, I mean, I had no doubt, because it's directed by Shinichiro Watanabe, and he hasn't made an anime that I haven't liked yet. Yeah. I like every single show he has made.
Yeah, the show follows two main characters who are teenage boys in high school who are terrorists. And
you don't know where they came from, though. They keep talking about that they've escaped from some sort of facility, but they're the only two ones that escape.
They're terrorists, and they devise a plan. They steal stuff from a chemical plant to blow up a building, and this girl who is like an outcast at school.
She's bullied.
She gets mixed into all of it, and she ends up becoming an accomplice. And now you follow these two boys the entire time, though, and this girl is a side character. And these two boys are so charming. You can connect with them. Like, they're fun to watch. And you remember that they're terrorists. Like, it's the weirdest feeling.
Well, and it's so weird because one of the boys is like really straight laced tough guy, and the other one is happy go lucky nuts. And the way that the girl explains it is smile like sunshine, eyes as cold as ice, which is just to me that was like the most brilliant line I've ever heard. It's so perfect. I fell in love with the anime right away.
Yeah.
It's really dark. So if you guys have the chance, you have to watch Zankyo no Terror, because I know for a fact that this is going to be a huge talking topic for as far as anime goes because of the terrorism theme.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's it. That's it.
Something a little bit more happier. The other one that I was truly impressed with this season was Glass Lip. This one's free on Crunchyroll, or streaming on Crunchyroll anyways, and it'll be free eventually. But it's just a regular slice of life about six kids who are in their last year of high school and are about to split apart. You know, like, their friendship is about to split apart because they're about to all go to college and everything like that. Kind of like the end of Azumanga Daioh, or like if it were to end, or begin where Azumanga Daioh ended. It follows this one girl she's an artist, and she wants to become a glassblower. And so it follows her daily life through, you know, training or, you know, trying to be a glassblower, you know, doing her art on the side, and also, you know, being with her friends. And the story starts with her meeting this new guy who just moves in his third year of high school, which is really hard for him because he's not going to be making many friends before they all split apart again. And it's just this really emotional, kind of friendly, feel-good comedy. The slice of life aspect, it's got really good animation, really impressive in some places, really flat in others, just because, you know, it's conversational at times. But there's always something in every single scene that grabs you, makes you like, whether it's a way that they draw a character's face, or they animate it, or there's a conversation that's happening. The conversations they have are awesome. You know,
That's weird.
Like there's one part where they talk about a girl is drawing chickens because it's in the country and they're all country bumpkins. So she's sketching on her sketch pad and she's drawing chickens, and she meets the new guy in their class and they start talking about like, why are these free range chickens? They're just going to be eaten by other animals. And then it gets into this really weird topic, and It was really heartwarming and nice, and I kind of liked it, but it was also kind of sad because I've been through the leaving friends at college kind of thing.
Huh.
Yeah, I like that one. And then another one that I watched while I was at jury duty was called Dramatical Murder, which is, it takes place in like a really distant future, which the story wasn't that great, but what grabbed me was not the characters themselves, but the character designs. And the character designs are like, every character is like an SNK character, not Shingeki no Kyojin.
Not Attack on Titan. Actual SNK people.
SNK Playmore, who they made the King of Fighters games, and they've made Metal Slug. Good games. Mm-hmm. Every character in it is unique in their own design, and it's just a game about this fighting game where anybody in the world can connect online and fight each other at any given moment. It's really strange. I don't really know what's going on at the moment. It's intriguing, though, so I might give it one or two more episodes, my three-episode policy.
Other shows that are in our queue that we're planning on watching but haven't watched yet, for me, I'm planning on watching Tokyo Ghoul, which may also go into the...
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah,
according... I've heard amazing things about it.
And according to the trailer, it looks like it's also going to go into the hardcore anime panel. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed.
As long as they don't pupa it.
Yeah. Exactly. The next one would be Barakamon.
Yeah, which is the...
slice of life calligraphy anime.
Yep.
Which looks cute.
Which is really weird because they're getting into a lot of cultural stuff. You know, they're doing glass blowing and calligraphy this season, which is like really strange things that you never usually see.
If you guys want to go check out my review on YouTube of GoGo Nippon, you'll see that I am actually huge into just learning things about the Japanese culture. So stuff like that interests me. I don't really find that stuff boring like other people might.
Okay. Let's talk about something.
Sailor Moon?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon was amazing. Like, utterly astounding.
Did anybody disagree that Sailor Moon wasn't amazing?
Good.
Silence is agreement. Silence is taken as agreement. Okay, so.
Yeah, I loved everything about Sailor Moon. The characters, like I know we only met Usagi really in the first episode, but from the moment that they introduced her, it was amazing. Even before they introduced her, where it was showing like the fly through of the universe, and they were playing that music.
Yeah.
It was just it was just so good.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is bizarre. Oh my gosh, this is weird.
And there's been people online that have been saying that, you know, oh, it's totally unnecessary, like totally unnecessary flashback. But I think that it really just set it up and set it apart from the old series.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, just
agreed.
Quick question before we get into this, though. At least from this week that we're recording this episode, why didn't the second episode come out?
What's because it's only every other week.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Man, I was so excited. Sailor Mercury is my favorite Sailor Scout. So I was, like, super pumped for this Saturday and be like, yeah, I'm going to finally see Sailor Mercury. And, man, like, what the heck?
Disappoint.
Yeah.
Yep.
Though, now I do remember, I do remember the fact that they were going to release it every other week. I forgot about that.
So, Sailor Mercury is your favorite. You heard that the current voice actress of Sailor Mercury just did a photo shoot for Playboy Japan, right?
Okay.
Was she wearing the Sailor Mercury lingerie that's available?
No, nothing like that.
See, I'm okay with this, Evan, because it's the voice actress was doing it, that's fine. Sailor Mercury was not doing that. I mean, we'll get into some sort of perfect blue situation here.
Here's the thing that people don't realize. Playboy Japan is a lot more classier. Like, they rarely ever, you know, take their clothes off or anything, so you don't see her naked.
Oh, that's okay. That's a little bit better. I don't know. I think people should keep their clothes on and not display it in public sometimes.
So, speaking of, you mentioned the Sailor Moon lingerie, which made me think about, like, this whole Sailor, like, I've been calling it Sailor Mania, you know, cuz we're seeing
Sailor Moonia?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, Sailor Moon is exploding in the same way that it was in the 90s, if not bigger, time around.
I kind of almost feel like that when Sailor Moon first came out, people were watching it and discovering it, and then after the fact, after Sailor Moon is all done and over, people were like, oh my gosh, Sailor Moon. You know, but it wasn't like that when it was coming out. People were just watching it as a show.
Right.
Yeah. So now that it's coming back, people are doing it first instead of after.
Well, I think me too. I mean, so Sailor Moon was my first anime. So I was like 12, I think, when I started watching it, and so then I just became obsessed with anime in general. So then it was a couple years down the line, and I found out how absolutely terrible the dick dubs were, and how cheated I felt. So kind of this relaunch is kind of like second chance, like, okay, we're doing it right this time, and we're not going to have to go through, you know, a few
They're
years
They're not going to pull a deke move.
Right.
Boom!
But yeah, they're coming out with, like, all this stuff that's Sailor Moon now. I mean, like, Bandai is releasing, like, real tiaras, like Sailor Moon tiaras, for $110 each.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy the Sailor Moon uniforms for $95. There's Sailor swimsuits and lingerie and all that kind of stuff now. I mean, it's crazy how, like, Sailor Moon is making this huge comeback. We've only seen one episode.
Yeah.
And I need to make a quick correction, that whole Playboy thing. It wasn't it's not the current voice actress for Sailor Mercury. It's actually the person who played Sailor Venus in the live-action Sailor Moon.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Sailor Venus is my favorite.
Yeah.
Sailor Venus is your favorite, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Jessica, who's your favorite Sailor Scout?
So everybody get ready to giggle. Sailor Uranus is my favorite. So. Uranus? No. But inner sensu-wise, Venus is. Because she was, I mean, especially in the manga, which is what I'm really excited to see, is she was total, like, general, we're going into battle, this is what you guys need to do, taking charge. So I'm really excited to see that side of her come to life in the anime.
Like my main man Spike Spiegel always said, I love a woman who can kick my ass.
That's right.
Yeah, and okay, how about, speaking of the characters anyways, too, well, first off, Evan, who's your favorite Sailor Scout?
I gotta say Sailor Venus. I always had, like, my, that was my anime girl crush when I was in high school. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good choice. I mean, everybody like seems to like Sailor Venus, but I know I'm not the only one who likes Sailor Mercury. A lot of people like Sailor Mercury, but
actually, a lot of the reviews that I've read, people are saying that Sailor Mercury is their favorite.
She's the nerd one, so, you know, she connected with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, let's also, speaking of characters, Tuxedo Mask in the first episode was really cool.
He was really cool.
I dig Tuxedo Mask. Like, originally, you know, I wasn't really a huge fan.
Well, and but in this one, he kind of swooped in like a anime character.
Yeah.
You know, and that rings bells with us here at Wicked Anime.
Yeah.
You know, always.
But yeah, I mean, I was just enthralled by all the characters. The visuals were really nice. I'm just, like, super looking forward to the rest of the show. I never thought that I would have liked it so much. The reason why is I thought I was going to like it because it was Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
But when I watched it, I liked it much more than that reason, which I am very happy about.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It feels like it's a new experience this time around.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I was one of the things that I was not expecting, because the art is so refined, and, you know, they don't do as much, or actually even at all, they don't do Super D, they don't do the huge eyes thing like they did in the 90s, but she was still a clumsy girl. Like, they still kept her, like, oh no, like, clumsy fall, like, I'm late for school kind of a thing, you know? And that was surprising to me, because of the refined art style, for some reason I had in my head, oh, they're going to change that.
Yeah.
Because the art style doesn't contribute to clumsiness, because it looks so beautiful and nice. Like, it almost seems like she'd be, like, a tougher girl, but she's still the same Sailor Moon, or the same Usagi.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Now, Jess, I know that that we've been talking about this for a little while, but have we touched on any of the topics that you touched on in your article that you wrote on Nerdy Show?
A little bit. So actually, I did a follow-up second one. So I guess to segue in, some of the things that I didn't like as much was, while the art style was great, I did sort of miss the expressiveness. So there were certain times when Usagi was, like, at the very end of the episode, when she was angry and she was making an angry face, it wasn't really obvious that she was sort of annoyed until they zoomed in on her really close.
Yep.
So I do kind of miss more of that sort of expressiveness that she had in the past. And they also look so mature, too.
Yes.
Like, they don't look like they're 14. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between, like, student and adult. Like, Haruna-sensei and Usagi and Naru-chan, like, they all look like they could be in university together.
all of them in their, in with their supermodel legs.
Right, lip gloss.
And like the,
she got
the
legs.
And the only thing that, like, deciphered the age difference between Usagi and forgive me, Tuxedo Mask. I don't know his name.
Mamoru.
Off the top of my head. Yeah, Mamoru. That's right. I knew that it was a name that was important to me. Mamoru Hosoda. That's the connection there. But yeah, Usagi and Mamoru. Like, the only difference that you could tell between, like, their age difference is that Mamoru is, like, 8 feet tall and Usagi is, like, 6.
So actually, if they're sticking closer to the manga, they're actually a lot closer in age. So he's only in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. I thought he was 19.
No.
He got held back.
Yeah, so, you know, he's in his, when they first meet, he's in his last year of high school, or second to last year of high school.
Okay, so he's like 17 or 18.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be going through this whole cradle robbing thing.
Nope.
For now, then.
No, and that's actually what's kind of interesting, because, I mean, if you think about it, it's really not that weird of a, because, I mean, yes, she's still in middle school, technically. But they're only, like, 3 or 4 years apart. Once she turns, like, 18 or like, you know, in college, he's not, like, the distance in age, it's kind of like that thing, like,
it vanishes.
It's kind of like that thing, like, once you get into college, age doesn't really matter anymore.
Well, so, actually, also in Japan, it's 16 to legally marry.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought age of consent was 15, actually.
Age of consent is 15, marriage is 16.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's interesting. How old was he in the original show?
He was in college. I don't think they ever really did age, like specific age.
So maybe I was thinking maybe he was 19, because he, I mean, that would still make sense if he was still a college student, and he was like 19 and she's 14. That's a five-year difference.
Yeah.
That's still kind of weird, but I don't know. Like a middle schooler crushing on
a college student. Yeah, it's weird at that time period, right? Because maturity-wise, it's so different, but...
Well, because it would be one thing if he had a crush on her. I mean, it's kind of normal for, you know, a younger girl to have a crush on an older guy, especially if he's handsome,
right?
Wouldn't you say? I mean, like if she's in middle school, college guy looks pretty cool,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
So it would just be weird if he was just like, yeah, that middle school student, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can dig that.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the problems that a lot of people had with the original anime when they were talking about their relationship. Was there, like, the only reason that they got together was because they had these memories of the past, and if they were actually didn't have that, then they would have had no interest in each other.
Which I like that they kept, like, they did that very well, too, referring back to Usagi's dream, you know, mm-hmm. in there, too. They didn't overplay that, I don't think. And the way that Usagi, you know, like, they had her go, like, oh, that girl in the dream, she was so beautiful, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It was just really, really subtle, and I liked it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed her second dream sequence when the two of them are running and it transforms into Sailor V fighting and then Sailor V fighting in the video game to save Luna. Like, that was just, it was so well done, I thought.
Yeah, that was that little bit of Super D that that you know, people would expect from the 90s stuff.
Was
like, but I like the shoujo, like, I kind of like the shoujo elements that they threw in there. Like, whenever they introduced a female character, there was that flower border.
Right, yeah.
Which I thought was kind of funny, almost as if they were, it's weird, because I kind of took it, I didn't really take it seriously. It was kind of reminding me of, like, Oren High School.
Yeah. Shoujo bubbles.
Yeah, shoujo bubbles.
Shoujo bubbles.
Because I just thought it was funny because when they introduce a guy character, like that nerd guy, like they didn't do the flowers. So it's like, no, girls are only special in here. You know?
Only girls get roses and shoujo bubbles.
Well, and cute guys. So then cute guys will get the shoujo bubbles behind them. Like, oh, he's so dreaming.
Yeah. Well, and that was funny too, like when Usagi met Mamoru, you know, for the first time, and she was kind of doing that, like, middle school girl stare in awe kind of thing at him, and then she got, like, she got all clumsy again, but it felt a little bit more real, where, like, you know, she had dropped her book bag, and then she just kind of, like, decides to, oh, I'm gonna go away now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she comes back, and she picks up her bag, and she runs away again.
Yeah.
You know?
I forgot about that. That was adorable.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
It was kind of weird seeing Mamoru already dressed in the tuxedo, though.
But again, that's also in the manga. That's their exact meeting.
You're telling me that she first sees him in a tuxedo, then she sees him as tuxedo mask, and he can't put two together.
Well, she has this moment when she finally does figure it out, which is like Act 7, I think, and she's like, "Oh wow, I'm so dumb. how did I not realize this?" And then also, I think it's always has something relatable. I mean, no matter who you are, it's the teen struggles of shit you go through. Like, I love that first scene when it was her and Ikuku, when she falls down the stairs and her mom is just sort of like, oh, okay, she fell again. Yeah. Are you okay? No, not okay. Like,
I yeah, no, I was really happy with the introduction of her character because it was perfect. Like, it was illustrated perfectly. You know, you knew exactly what you were getting out of it. And I also, one of the things that you were mentioning earlier, you know, the struggles of real life. I mean, like, what person at all, not just girls like Usagi, but what person in the world hasn't said, like, man, I wish I could just be a superhero and not have to go to school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've wished that thousands of times. Like, wouldn't it be so cool if I was just, like, a hero of some sort and I didn't have to do any of this normal life crap?
Right, and I would remember, like, I would actually even remember walking into school and, like, picturing if I was a Sailor Senshi and, like, I'm fighting in school and all these people are like, oh my god, what's going on? I'm just like, yeah, I'm this badass soldier, no big deal, whatever.
Sometimes I used to imagine myself just walking on the ceiling, just acting all badass.
Yeah.
So this actually is not the only shoujo manga I own. Shoujo Bubbles. I've actually stumbled across when the Hellgirl anime came out. Do you guys know Hellgirl?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The anime is not a shoujo. The anime is actually a horror, and it's very dark and very gruesome. But the manga is, in fact, a shoujo, drawn like Sailor Moon, has shoujo bubbles. It's crazy. It's so weird. It's a shoujo horror manga, but it's not, like, they cut out the blood, and they cut out the... It's so weird.
Huh.
Like, yeah. Yeah, so I almost feel tricked into buying a shoujo because of the anime, but it reads like the TV show. It's just it's drawn with, you know, the
it's more pretty.
It is. It's drawn like with the creepy shoujo girls.
and the interesting thing about shoujo, you know, in general, is there was actually a shoujo released this season, this new summer season of anime. It was about middle school girls doing like airsoft and military training programs. It was deemed a shoujo when it was coming out, but I saw a little bit of it, and it doesn't seem shoujo-esque at all. It even has some very, you know, cliche fan service-y moments with like big breasts and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but yet it's considered a shoujo. Is that because of the fact that it's like an all-female cast?
I think that's sort of what I've pretty noticed much on a lot of things that I've been watching recently. Is it says it's shoujo, but it just seems like they just say that because it's the main character is a girl, or they're following a girl storyline.
Well, I mean, the other thing is too is that maybe like you're right, the main character is a girl, because as long as the main character isn't a guy who's a pervert, then it's not.
Yeah.
Then I mean that's the only thing keeping it from being a shoujo.
Because it's actually the same thing. There was a new anime also this season that we haven't watched yet. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. That's labeled a seinen anime, which the seinen genre means older male. So it's for an older audience, but it's about a girl who wants to learn how to dance.
Hmm.
So I don't know how they're going to market that towards an older audience, right? It does seem like there's a lot less shoujo coming out as far as anime goes.
Very true. It seems like that it's a very limited genre that hasn't caught the eye of many people. The way that they so quickly jumped on, you know, bringing Sailor Moon to America this season, because they knew that everybody was going to be watching it. Even with the re-releases of the redub of the old show.
Who already pre-ordered their copy?
I haven't pre-ordered anything yet because I don't have money. I haven't gotten my second volume of Ranma yet.
Really? I got mine like a week before it was released.
Ah, oh, man, dude.
Right stuff. You got to do right stuff.
I actually saw something on Tumblr. I saw a leak of the redub online where Stephanie Shea is playing Usagi.
And it sounds great.
Oh, it's so adorable. I love Stephanie Shea so much.
Me too.
Okay. So I think that concludes our majority Sailor Moon shoujo conversation.
Let's move on to
the fan service.
Fan service.
Yes.
What the heck, fans? You didn't like the last episode? Said us crap to talk about? This is your fault. This is your fault.
Fan blaming. That's good. That'll bring in the viewers. We don't have any fan service. Our fan service was the news piece that was sent to us by our fan, which is awesome. Please, anybody send us fan.
Because we've gotten plenty of news pieces that are sent to us by fans with that. But hey, if you guys want to join in on the conversation, maybe you saw Sailor Moon. Maybe you hated Sailor Moon. Tell us why you hated Sailor Moon.
And we'll really want to know why you would. So please.
Yeah. Exactly. I got the manga sitting right here. I went to go get it right for this conversation, and it follows it to a T, so it's not wrong. If you guys want to email us about Sailor Moon, maybe you guys are watching some of the episodes that are coming out for the summer season. We absolutely know that some people hated Akame ga Kill, but we all loved Akame ga Kill. Tell us why. Send us anything you want, guys. So we're still waiting on fan fiction. Anyway... If you guys want to find our review videos, you can go to youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. We have reviews and fun interviews, all that kind of stuff. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have frequent updates on videos, news pieces, whatever we find, whatever kind of news is relevant to you guys, the fans. We have a Tumblr, where you can just find us at wickedanime.tumblr.
if you guys are listening to us on nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find both our videos and our podcast review, you can also find us on iTunes.com.
Please rate and review.
Yes, rate and review us on iTunes.com.
Actually, I'm not sure what's going on with. I think we will be still on iTunes, but we're also moving over to SoundCloud.
We are moving to SoundCloud as well.
Yay.
I think that's just a network thing, though.
That is just a network thing.
So you can also find us on SoundCloud eventually. I think that's where the main player is on nerdyshow.com, though.
So you
won't have to go seeking us still.
Yeah, it's going to be hosted by SoundCloud, but our player is still going to be on our website.
Which is pretty cool.
It's pretty sweet. So, I think
that... Oh, yeah. That reminds me that SoundCloud, you can just put a comment right on the track.
Yeah.
Like when you hear something that you like, you can just, boom, comment right on it. And that is going to be a lot of fun.
That is going to be awesome.
It's time for our guest to shamelessly plug.
So, Evan, we'll start with you.
All right. So, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band, want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and The Issues Program. We just celebrated our 5th anniversary, and we are very excited about that.
Yeah.
Woo!
I want to win Sniper Elite 3.
Even though we won't be able to play it.
Yeah.
And last but not least, we wanted to make sure that you were the last one to sign off, Jessica, because you were the new guest on the show. Everybody knows Evan already.
Oh.
So who cares about what he has to offer?
I don't have anything as flashy as what Evan was going through, but you can find me on Twitter, I guess, at Jessica Ullman, U-E-L-M-E-N, and you can also find me on nerdyshow.com, sharing blogs and other news things and things I find interesting, from sci-tech to anime to whatever seems cool. So hopefully
with the more anime that comes along, you'll see more of Jessica on our show. She's a part of the Nerdy Show family. We have Cap and them on all the time, so what the heck, you know, why isn't Jessica on the show more often?
I don't know, but I would love to come back.
I am glad to hear it.
No, she's just saying that because we're recording.
Yeah,
because
we're recording. So
yeah, afterwards, I'm gonna hang up this call as soon as I possibly can, and never.
Yeah,
talk
and
to
then
again.
never talk to us again.
No.
In fact, she's gonna leave Nerdy Show because she's just like.
Yeah,
I'm gonna send
an email to Cap, and I'm just gonna be like, "This is. I just can't believe you suggested this. It's terrible.
You gave them my email.
Yeah.
You gave. I'm. We're not friends anymore, Cap.
Yeah.
It's so long.
All right, guys. So that is it for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We do have some music for you at the end of the show, which this time I actually know what it is. It is going to be the new Sailor Moon theme.
Surprise.
Yeah. We didn't talk about it then, but I can talk about it now. My gosh, that new theme was awesome.
It is.
Like,
and yeah,
I'm
really
not
is.
A fan of Clover Z, but I liked
it. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed that it wasn't, like, a remake of the original theme. I was kind of looking forward to hearing that, but the new one is just, like, super cool.
Well, if you'd
like
to actually hear
solo.
A remake, Clover Z does sing the Moonlight Destiny song on the 20th anniversary CD tribute.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. Okay.
See, I was wondering where I could find that, because I really want to hear it.
Yeah, actually, the tribute CD is really, it's really good, I think.
I can imagine.
To it all the time. All
right, guys, that is it for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. It is time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye!
That is really how we sign off, Jessica.
That is
the end of the podcast.
Okay.
And that's as strange as it gets.
Yeah.
Menstrual shaved ice. Can I have half can I have half strawberry and half lemonade? Is that possible?
You've already
I mean, I think that's called kidney failure, so.
Yeah.
Woo! Have some swirls.
This is just getting... Oh my gosh.
You thought it was going to be a darker conversation, but we are laughing.
Wicked A! Thanks for listening to Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to this network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you and your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Wicked Anime, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news on us, you can follow us on any social network. Or all your favorite social networks. Fuck the ones you don't like. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.